The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library, episode, I don't know, where we discuss 24 Legacy, season 1, episode 9. I'm Chris Lorenz, and sitting to my right is...
Robert Kitts.
Sitting to my left...
Harrison Hoffman.
Sitting to his left...
Maxime Nasseri.
Oh.
All right, it's another...
That was an episode.
It was definitely an episode.
You know what? This is so much better than the rest of the non-Insanity High School sort of mid-season episodes. I'm on board. Insane shit's going down.
We had Insanity Suburb tonight.
Insanity Basement? Oh, yeah.
Should we go through the play-by-play?
I don't think I'm qualified.
You're not qualified to do the play-by-play in this episode?
No.
All right, should we start one plot line at a time?
The two plot lines, sure.
The two plot lines at a time?
Sure.
Well, we saw them closing up that CTU black site.
Our last appearance of Tony.
Yeah, it seems like Tony might be packing up to get off the show.
I maybe should have known better than to bet against Max Stradamus last week, because they definitely just seemed to like Tony out.
And I also noticed in the opening credits it said special guest star, like special guest appearance. By Carlos Bernard.
I mean, they said that for the last couple episodes, too.
Yeah, but that generally means he's not coming back.
It just means that he's not going to be in that many episodes, probably.
Yeah, so, like, how many days on set was Carlos Bernard? Like,
one.
Two days?
I'll give you two days.
Like, one day to film the scene where they kidnap the guy in the car, and then one day at the black site.
Literally, in the morning they shot the car stuff, and in the afternoon they went to that one room and they shot all the rest of his scenes, and he was done.
He didn't really interact with anyone but what's her face?
Rebecca. If this is really the end of Tony, what was the whole point of Aisha 2? Like, shade, and just nothing.
I would love if they just left it at that, and there was just no explanation of any of that stuff.
The mystery of Aisha 2?
Yeah.
I've definitely watched shows where they're, like, clearly setting something up, and they never follow through. Because they just realize it doesn't work.
I watched a show like that. It was called 24.
Yep. What if this isn't the real Tony?
Do you think he's going to like take off a Mission Impossible mask and it's someone else?
No. So this is Carlos Bernard. What if there's a Carlos Arnold?
Oh.
Nuts.
Deep cut.
I'm still pissed because of that Super Bowl commercial where they played the Blu-ray special.
So I went back and watched the Super Bowl commercial. They don't show him in prison. They just show scenes from him at the black side.
Really?
I think so. Unless there were multiple Super Bowl commercials. I might have looked at the wrong one.
But. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think they did.
I think you just have just a repressed memory of watching the 24 Blu-ray special, and then you just superimposed it into your memory of the Super Bowl commercial.
Did we bring the Blu-ray to watch that again this week?
So, funny story. We have the Blu-ray. We do not have a Blu-ray player in this premise.
Oops.
Well, we do have one floor down from here, so.
We could go and get one. I think our ship sailed on that, though. We should have done that before the podcast.
Probably.
We'll check it out after.
Next week.
Okay, so we got CTU wrapping up. We got Tony. He's done.
So Tony's
Big Tony's
done.
Out.
So Senator Organa takes Papa Organa home.
Yeah.
And once they're in the cozy confines of Shea Organa, Papa Organa spills the beans and is like, I did it all for you, son. No one knows but you. That means you're still going to be president. And Senator Organa is not in it.
Papa Organa is going nuts. He's getting real creepy. He's like, I did it all for you. I did it for the press.
Wait. Why did he tell him again? Why wouldn't he just keep lying?
He's an insane person.
Because he's trying to have like a real relationship with his son, and you can't just...
Yeah, but he already knows what the senator thinks of it.
I understand that. He also already knows that the senator knows what he did because he told him. So it really doesn't even matter that he's talking about it again.
No, at this point, he could have just been like, you know, kept lying. And his son wouldn't have been like
that. And then
nobody would do that.
And then his son just starts to lose his mind because he just convinced himself that other conversation didn't happen.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's crazy, dude.
So he can be president because he's not going to be president now.
He's still going to be president. There's no way he's going to withdraw himself from that race.
He's not going to be president.
I'm really excited because there's a mention that he set up a meeting with the head of the party after 11 o'clock, so the last episode of the season. Which special guest star is the head of the party?
Ooh.
So, best case scenario, he's meeting future Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Tom Kirkman, and they do the Desi and Survivor crossover, and this is a Desi and Survivor prequel.
That would be great.
I'm not sure that would be the best case. I feel like best case here is we get Big Booty back.
Oh! Strong endorsement.
Oh, man.
Are there any like high-ranking politicians from previous seasons that have not come out as moles or dead people?
There's definitely some politicians they never confirmed were dead, but just were in some accident and never heard from again.
Ah.
There's also whatever the name of the president in the last non-Live Another Day season was, the Hillary-ish president.
Oh, right.
She was just had to resign in disgrace rather than be killed.
There you go.
What if they got Martin Sheen?
That'd be a bold move.
Oh, man.
What if they got... was he President Bartlett? I feel like he was President Bartlett.
Martin Sheen was definitely President Bartlett.
Yeah.
What if they got Trump, like a Trump lookalike?
What if they actually got Trump? What would that even do?
Oh, my God.
You know, they're looking for them ratings.
You know who's great at ratings.
Everyone knows who's the best at ratings.
What if it's Arnold?
Except for his approval ratings. Boom.
Oh.
Oh, snap.
All right. We got to get away from this Trump thing or else it's going to be too crazy on here.
All right. So what are the plot lines we got going on? So Isaac has made a miraculous recovery from his gunshot wound.
He's just sitting on a car.
We were talking last week about how he might be dead. And then all of a sudden, he didn't even have to go to the hospital.
He's just moving.
They had a great throwaway line of, the bleeding has stopped. And now he's apparently fine.
No word on whether they extracted the bullet from the wound, whether the bullet went all the way through his body, which would seem like he might need to go to the hospital for something like that.
I guess it was through and through, and he's fine.
You know, I feel like a giant bullet that went through him.
I feel like this is a great opportunity to bring up our drink of the week.
What is our drink of the week this week, Max?
Well, it's not Jack. It is Bullet Bourbon. This is different from our previous Not Jack Bullet Rye.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to take a bullet for 24.
That's right.
Yep.
This definitely hitting the spot.
This message brought to you by Bullet. Bullet. It's the thing you put in your gun.
Also your stomach.
Or both if you're Isaac.
Oh.
Boom.
We are putting... Oh, gosh.
Not Jack is working right now. That was great considering all the product placement in this episode. We just put a random product placement
in
the podcast.
That Ford F-150
XLT.
XLT hauling that big piece of concrete off that rubble pile.
That was great.
Oh, yeah.
It's so crazy because he was under that rubble, the pile. He was shot, and now he's just like not even at the hospital.
He's making lovey-dovey eyes at people.
Ooh. Yeah,
it's not just the Ford F-150. There's also Eric's excellent Samsung phone, which can take excellent zoomed-in photos, even if the light is not that great, Eric made sure to point out to us.
That 2.6x digital zoom?
It was a thing of beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
So what happened to Isaac post the explosion, now that he's recovered from his bullet wound of 5 minutes ago?
Well, so Nicole is like, I want to go home to my house, which has a bunch of dead people in it.
Because she was just told that Eric would not be joining her and that he had to go finish some business, as Isaac put it.
Which he's been telling her like all season.
Don't worry, he's got some business he has to finish.
So what are the chances that Eric and her are together at the end of the season?
I think it's looking slim. I think their marriage is on the rocks.
I'm not convinced she would go with Isaac, but I feel like their relationship is probably going to end.
It seems like Eric would rather be a CTU agent than be with her. Oh, is yeah. what it seems like.
He'd definitely rather be a CTU agent than a sort of normal citizen.
For sure.
But he's not a CTU agent.
He likes to tell people he's a CTU agent.
I'm working with CTU. I am CTU.
He definitely said he was CTU at one point in this episode.
Yeah.
Which is a felony.
He said he's with CTU, which is kind of true.
Well, I think one time he said with. I think another time he's just like, I'm CTU.
Federal agent. Okay, so... should we talk about Eric's plot line here? It kind of intersects with some other stuff.
Well, so before we even get to Eric,
okay.
A random character we don't know gets a phone call. Can you yes. talk about that?
Yeah, I can. So a random security guard at CTU who we see for the first time on camera is all of a sudden getting...
No one wins mole watch.
Is yet. Getting a call from... The new terrorist guy, who also disappeared at the very end of the last episode. So you have two characters basically introduced within about 15 minutes of showtime of each other. And now this guy's the mole, and he's helping the terrorist to get the other terrorist dude out of CTU custody.
He seemed pretty high up in CTU as well. Like, he had access to change the security cameras and boss people around.
He was some kind of security lead or something, right?
Yeah, I can't decide if he was someone who actually was really high up in security, who they just gave an outfit to look like a regular security guard, or if they just made no sense with the kind of clearances he had, given he's just a regular security guard.
I mean, it seemed like he was like the supervisor of those guys. That's what it seemed like.
He was wearing a jacket, so he seemed more important. Like a scientist.
I agree with Harrison. He definitely was seemed their supervisor or manager. But the supervisor or manager should not have access to be changing things like that.
I mean,
what kind of security does CTU have?
Someone has to have access, and the amazing CTU programmers are not fucking with the security cameras of the building that they're working in. They're just not doing that. So someone has to have access to that stuff.
Yeah, you have to go through levels. Can't just be one guy.
All the CTU programmers do is mess with security cameras all over the city. Why wouldn't they mess with the CTU security
cameras? They still need to be maintaining this internal CTU cameras.
But they mess with it to root it to them, not to disable them.
That's true.
So
But why could you be able to turn the security cameras off in the first place?
Sometimes you got to perform some routine maintenance. On those cameras.
You know, when you got to do those enhanced interrogations.
Sometimes,
yeah, but then you just take them down the road, down the block.
Well, sometimes there's no black site handy 5 minutes away. You just turn part of CTU into a black site.
It is a feature of the CTU cameras that they can be turned off.
So, sometimes you're a security guard and you got, sort of that TV screen with, the 32 cameras going on. Sort of the Matrix situation.
Are they all green with
letters? No, you know how there's that guy in the room with all the TV screens?
Oh,
the architect?
The architect.
The Matrix Reloaded.
Right. So basically, security guards are the real life architects, right?
Sure.
And sometimes sometimes you just see people fucking in the hallway and you don't want to see that. And that's why you would turn off a CTU security cam.
You wouldn't want to see that?
There's not too many hot people at CTU.
I don't know. The main cast is pretty good.
Suppose. Okay. So anyway, so this security guard, we find out that these terrorist guys are holding his daughter?
Girlfriend. Are you kidding me?
That girl looked like that could be his daughter. Dude, she was pretty young for him, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
some kind of girl who was related to her was being held, and he basically...
She's not related. It's a girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, personally related.
Has a personal connection.
Personal connection.
There you go.
Who he doesn't want to have die is basically being held by these terrorists, and he has this little video feed on his phone of her sitting there with this bomb vest on, basically. So basically, he's doing... We really need to get into the details, but he's doing a bunch of stuff to facilitate this terrorist guy getting out of CTU. And that's basically his job.
Yeah, so they're giving Jadala back to Nasiri? Is that his name?
Asim Nasiri.
Which apparently, dumbass Oxford terrorist guy didn't even realize was his father's right-hand man. Somehow.
which we got a glimpse that there might be a guy above him as well.
Because
he said in the van that he said that, you know, it wasn't for me to tell you. So
it I think that was...
It could mean that. It also could just mean that he should have figured out on his own.
It was like, all right, here's my explaining of that line, because I heard that too. Like, I think that it was basically like the dad would have expected him to like watch after the son. So that's basically what he's doing. And like, he's trying to like let the son do his own thing and not cramp his style by being like, oh, like his dad's dude is secretly pulling the strings of this whole thing. That's kind of how I took it.
I don't know. I got they're ripping off 24 season one flashback where the terrorist you thought was dead all season turns out to be alive.
So you think that the Oxford guy's dad is alive?
That's definitely what was implied.
Okay, I guess we'll see.
It seems implied, but also like everybody seems pretty convinced he was dead. Plus, the dad let the thumb drive, you know, fall out of his hands.
And let's not forget that there are three episodes of this show left. Are they going to introduce and resolve the dad situation in three episodes? Maybe with that time jump, but who knows?
I mean, he could just show up with the last episode and then get bombed. I don't know.
He just rolls up and then immediately dies in the last episode? That'd be amazing.
By get bombed, do you mean he just gets drunk or just he actually gets a bomb dropped on him?
Both.
Oh. I think the way the season's going, they'll totally introduce another random character and then kill him off the next episode.
Sure.
I mean, they introduced a security guard for one episode.
It is already ridiculous that they have re-released the same terrorist who they had in custody for about 40 minutes back into the wild.
I don't understand why he was important.
Like, I thought that we had resolved the situation with him. We're going to move on to bigger and better things, but now he's back out there again, so they're still dealing with the same guy. Like,
yeah. He's unimportant now. He's a small fry.
I don't think so, dude.
The real time in this episode was egregiously bad. Like, it's not been good all season, but everyone was back at CTU in no time. The Organas got back to their house in no time. It's just things. Everyone was moving from one spot to another.
Yeah, he went to his house and back to CTU in one episode.
I have an argument with that.
He lives close.
He lives close. This has been established in a previous episode where Senator Organa says Papa Organa should have been home by now. Did you guys blacksite him?
Oh.
You did say that, but you remember when Senator Organa going from CTU to the blacksite took like 50 minutes.
You know, sometimes people want to stop and get that 20-piece McNuggets.
oh, family pack?
Okay, well, hold on.
How great would it have been if in one of the frames when like they come back from commercial, it's just Senator Organa's car at the McDonald's drive-in?
That'd be amazing. Or just like him, like
it's a great product placement.
Or just like him standing in front of the giant menu board at McDonald's, just like looking at it, just like I just can't decide.
I think we can make a better season of 24 than these people can.
All right, so hold on, back up a second. Okay, so the bigger terrorist guy in the last episode when he was almost blown up, how does it, like, it seemed like we already knew, and the like head guy already knew he was above him in that episode.
So,
is it just me or am I misremembering?
So basically what we saw is that the dude walks into the warehouse that Eric's being held captive and sees this guy, and he's just like, I know who you are. I saw you on this mission I was on, right? And that's about it.
But right? But Nasiri is all like, don't call me that. Don't say anything.
Right.
So it implied that everyone else doesn't know he's Nasiri, that he's undercover.
Which is now clear.
Which is consistent with how this episode played out.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'm just...
But like, okay. So I actually didn't remember that detail. So when this terrorist guy walks in and Eric recognizes him, like the terrorist guy is like trying to bargain with Eric. He's like, hey man, don't tell him that I'm this other guy because I got this other situation going on that I'm trying to keep secret with these terrorists. And Eric was like, okay, and just didn't tell him that he was this other dude. Or
Eric's not the sharpest guy.
Clearly.
I don't remember how much of a time gap it was between that exchange and Isaac's crew busting in.
It was pretty quick. It was like 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The host doesn't know.
It's too bad the audio podcast can't show the world Chris's facial expression right there, because it was real good.
Yeah, yeah.
Subscribe to our podcast Snapchat.
Oh.
We have a podcast Snapchat? No, this is amazing. We
don't. I was just floating the idea. But you can't,
I do like that idea.
You can't like tie. I cannot do this because like you can't have one phone with two Snapchat accounts.
And your personal Snapchat is too important to sacrifice for
it really
this podcast.
Is.
Okay.
You just have to get it a whole other phone.
Like, you need a separate phone number to have a new Snapchat.
So you need a burner phone, is what you're saying.
Okay.
Right. I mean,
let's
all these terrorists got it.
Let's go walk down to 7-Eleven, pick up a burner, and start the Snapchat up.
Okay.
All right. I don't think we're going to do that.
Stay tuned next week for we'll announce our 24 podcast Snapchat feed. Actually, just try to add the DPPL on Snapchat and see what happens.
Maybe nothing. Maybe
probably nothing.
Maybe there'll be a lot of great content.
Might be the best content, but like Chris said, well, probably nothing.
It's probably just going to be some weird Snapchat about people who are fed people.
Oh man, we're way off the rails.
All right.
Bring us back, Chris.
Host. You got to host this.
I'm letting it flow this week.
Okay,
guys.
Letting
it flow.
He's a relaxed host this week.
Yeah. What other plot lines do we have? Anything else happens?
Yes, well, there's a
Eric,
huge
we have the Eric
thing.
Plot line.
So Eric
and the Smiths plot line.
Two
that's
huge
all
plot
important.
Lines.
So
the only two plot lines at this point.
I'll do some quick recap. Eric gets told that Nasiri made a phone call to some house, rolls up at that house, and of course it's the house with the security guard's girlfriend in the basement. And there's some other woman who was like the one who tied her up and is getting ready to leave. So she pretends like she's an innocent when Eric has the gun on her. Then Eric gets one of his backup to take the gun on her. And of course she takes that moment to overpower him and shoot the third guy in the house. And then Eric shoots her and kills her. Obviously being inferior to Isaac, who can shoot out hostages in the knees. You can still interrogate them later.
What an idiot. Like, literally, like, one of the last known connections to the terrorists,
look,
he just iced.
Army rangers don't learn how to shoot and not kill.
They
okay?
should. Sometimes they'll have operations where they need to, like, not
no,
kill people.
No, you just kill people. That's,
just
what you
auto-kill?
Do.
I don't know about that.
That's what they did with the terrorists the first time.
Yo, Chris, speaking of army rangers, how is Power Rangers?
Oh,
we
God.
Can't be talking about that right
okay.
now.
Okay. We're going to save the Power Rangers talk for the end of the episode.
We've okay. had enough already of us not talking about 24. Yep.
So, I didn't really understand why that didn't really pan out with the other guy watching her, because the other guy seemed much more physically formidable than Eric. But she just wrecked him immediately.
Yep. Maybe it was the confusion.
He just wasn't ready?
He yeah. wasn't ready.
All right.
No doubt.
He's like, hey, terrorist.
He's just not Army Ranger trained. That's it.
It's true. But he's CTU trained, right?
Yeah, that's just not the Army Rangers.
Who was that guy that was with them? What?
He was an actual CTU agent.
So he was a CTU guy? He wasn't like...
I have no idea.
Because I don't think we'd really met that guy before.
Well, he was definitely some redshirt guy who just got...
Just some
he's
rando.
The mole. He's the next mole.
Fair.
No, the security guy is the mole. We already established that.
So Eric makes his way to the basement. And he sees that this girl is saran wrapped to this chair or something, or like, and has this bomb vest on and like a webcam on. So he's like, okay, this is a problem. So
it was nice. It was nice of the terrorists to leave the laptop
Samsung
up.
Galaxy S whatever to zoom in and only take a photo of the bomb vest, not the girl, and sends it back to C2. He's like, hey, there's a situation. How do I deal with this thing? For some reason, he doesn't take a photo of who the person is wearing the bomb vest, which they could have used to connect to the security guard who was, at the same time, helping the terrorist guy to escape.
Yeah, it was quite convenient.
Very convenient. So, basically, Eric tells this girl, like, hey, don't panic. I've never defused a bomb before, but we're about to do this thing.
He didn't say that.
But he should have. Made her aware of the situation.
No, because she wouldn't have stayed calm. She needed to, like, not blow up.
That's fair.
It is very clear from the moment he says this that that's exactly the plot element that's coming into play.
I feel like 10 seconds is too much time.
it didn't. Why would you design it that way? Just blow it up as soon as you detect a problem so you can't throw it away.
Exactly.
Right. No.
By the way, this bomb vest has a vibration sensor that if it moves too much, it'll explode with a 10-second delay on it. Yeah, just enough time for you to potentially get away from it.
There's no reason for that 10-second delay.
Zero reason.
Unless you were writing a contrived television show. Some kind of 10 seconds.
Some kind of plot device.
And then they lethal weaponed it.
Then they lethal weaponed it.
By throwing the bomb away and then ducking in the corner.
You know, it's industry standard on these, you know, these bomb vests to have a 10-second delay. You know. Yeah. Just in case.
That was a toilet bomb.
You can't mess with those factory settings on the bomb vests, you know.
You got to do some, like, jumpers. You got to change it. You ever play with the jumpers?
What on bomb vests? I have not played with any jumpers on bomb vests.
What are jumpers?
Jumpers are... Okay. We're getting deep into some electronic shit. On, like, motherboards and stuff, sometimes there's little configurations that you have to physically change by, like, basically connecting two pins together with a little thing called a jumper.
Gotcha. Okay.
I thought they were dresses that little girls wore.
Yeah.
Jumpers?
Well, it's like a British thing, right? Jumper. It's like...
That's what I thought jumpers were.
Rob, I'm not crazy, right?
What about like jumper cables?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Jumper.
What about...
Isn't Jumper a movie with Anakin Skywalker in it?
What about that
I think it was.
What about that jumper movie? I feel like Jumper makes me think of Looper, that movie with Bruce Willis and...
I like that movie
JGL.
More than Jumper.
JGL. That was a pretty good movie.
Who is directing the next Star Wars movie?
JGL.
Full circle. No,
JGL is directing the next Star Wars?
directed Looper is directing the next Star Wars movie.
Wait. Yeah. How is this full circle?
Because we were talking about Anakin Skywalker, and we've been talking all season about Senator Organa.
All right, I'm right. So, it's called the Jumper. Confirmed.
Jumper, parentheses, computing. Yes. Okay?
All right. So, and nothing else happened this episode, and we'll see you guys next week.
Well, a couple other things happened.
Except for a few things. Let's talk about
Smits. One big thing. Let's talk about Smitty Smits.
Hold on. Let's just resolve this situation with the terrorist guy. They save the girlfriend. The security guard no longer has the motivation to help the terrorists escape.
I feel the girlfriend could have spilled the beans on this way sooner in this thing.
The girlfriend.
Here's the thing. She could have, but I think it was a great strategy. Because if she had spilled the beans earlier, she would definitely be dead. Because they would not be taking the same level of care to make sure she didn't explode. Because they knew they needed the information from her once she calmed down. I'm going to say that. Which, like, it seems like a dumb move at the time, but, like, sometimes when people hold that information out a little bit until they know that they're safe, like, it works out better for them.
I guess I can see that.
I don't know.
I have a question. Let's say you're Asim Nasseri. So he's got all this equipment, this, like, laptop that's doing some streaming. He's got some remote detonator. He's got this C4. Seems like a lot of money. And he could have completely accomplished the same thing by just wrapping her in saran wrap and, like, a toaster or something and saying, yeah, you got a bomb on you. I'm just saying, like...
Or just, like, having some dude stand there with a gun pointed at her?
Sure. Just not the most frugal use
Why not just, like, have her stay home? Like, I don't understand.
Because it has to be intricate.
Well, it was. It turned out to be pretty frugal considering how small that explosion was when they actually got the vest off.
Right, but
they really cheaped out on the explosives. For
that explosion should have taken out the whole basement.
Taken out the whole house.
That explosion was the equivalent of one of those like firework fountains. Like, is basically nothing.
I think it was basically the same as the flash grenade we were talking about in our previous episode. Yeah.
What is a firework fountain?
Oh, so you don't know what a firework fountain is?
Not a clue.
So, in states where like proper fireworks, where they shoot in the air and explode, are illegal. They have these like little tubes that kind of sit on the ground and just shoot kind of like, you know, sparklers and shit up, basically.
Okay.
Because you can't make real fireworks.
Especially like the shit that flies
especially
out.
Especially the sparklers.
Especially the shit that flies out, yeah.
You know, and it makes a bunch of sounds.
Okay.
That's kind of it.
Okay.
It's basically lame fireworks is the idea.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is that involved the little thing that like you light and it snakes out the...
Oh, the little snake thing? That's another great, you know, toy in states where fireworks are illegal.
That's South Park did a great episode with the snake.
Smoke bombs, the snakes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Great. All right. So back to this episode.
Yep.
So there's a little
bit. We got to wrap it up here.
Oops, there goes gravity.
There's some quick marital drama going on. Because A, Nicole finds that Eric has been interviewing for CTU for a long time and didn't tell her.
With Rebecca.
And Isaac and her make some eyes at each other, but nothing's happening yet. And then Smits is just so mad at Rebecca. I can't believe that she'd do this. He's not taking her calls for a whole, like, 20 minutes.
At least three missed calls.
Three missed calls. And then he decides to call her back, and he's like, I want to talk to you. Even though they're talking on the phone. And then they decide, okay, just swing on by over to CTU real quick before you go meet the political head. What could go wrong?
Nothing bad ever happens here. Just go ahead and swing
CTU
by.
CTU is the safest place in the world. And so Smits ends up right in the middle of Nasiri breaking out Jadala. Did we mention that the security guard guy got shot in the head yet or no?
Nope. Now we did.
Now we did.
So basically, like, there's a scene where, like, Rebecca is trying to explain to the security guard, hey, we took care of your girlfriend slash daughter, and she is not in the situation anymore, and everything is cool, so you don't need to break this guy out anymore. And, in the exact moment where he realizes, like, okay, I think we're good, he just gets popped in the head by the terrorists who are breaking these dudes out.
Can we roll back a second?
No.
To the girlfriend slash daughter?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Dude,
That's real fucked up.
It's real fucked up, but it's kind of true.
You don't want to have like an uncle, like dad situation happening. That's
I think
like
it's
a grandfather, dad thing. You don't want that to happen.
I mean, the slash isn't an and, it's an or.
You definitely do not want some sort of Woody Allen situation going on here.
You got to explain the Woody Allen situation now, Max, because you brought up a reference that no one understands.
You don't know that reference?
I don't know that reference.
I don't know the reference either.
Rob, do you know that reference?
That's a good reference right there.
I don't know all the details of it, but Woody Allen, like, broke up with someone and started dating that person's daughter or something like that.
Okay, correction.
It's the Woody Allen complex.
Woody Allen and, I'm going to say Susan Sarandon, even though it's not Susan Sarandon.
Someone Susan Sarandon-esque.
They're dating for like 13, 14 years. They start adopting kids even though they're not really married. He breaks up with Susan Sarandon, starts dating and marrying one of their adopted kids when she's 19.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Yeah, that's, dude's a real creeper.
That's like, is that like reverse Oedipus complex or something weird?
Maybe she had the Oedipus complex.
Yeah. That's a son mother thing. So this is a daughter father thing.
That's a kill your father, marry the mother. But this is marry the father, don't do anything
divorce
with the mother.
Divorce,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Man, now that's nuts.
Anyway.
So now we're back at...
So the terrorists killed the security guard.
Shot in the head.
Rebecca tries to put up some fire. Doesn't...
Unsuccessful.
Unsuccessful. They get Jadala. They're running out. And who do they happen to run into? Jimmy Smits himself.
Here's Smitsy stopping by for a visit at CTU with his two security
guards. With his two incompetent security guards who get killed in no time.
They're oh, there's a bunch of terrorists running at us.
He got some bad advice from Rebecca, though.
About coming to CTU?
Yeah. No, about leaving CTU. Like, oh, you're in the building. You got to go. But yeah. CTU's out of lockdown. How are you get the hell are you going to get out of there?
They were just wandering around in this parking garage, basically. And then the terrorists see them, immediately kill the two security
How
guys.
How come the CTU's building lockdown is a 10-block radius they police
gotta,
squadron?
They got to be able to have some... metal doors that come down and block the
vehicle
exits or
that's
something.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The number of times that this shit has happened there, like, they need to have some better things.
Right. Why don't they have those, like, fucking, like, those blocks that come out of the floor?
Yeah, just put some of those little pegs that come up out of the floor. Whatever.
I wonder if CTU Washington has been all like, can you believe those jokers in CTU LA and all the problems they have and all the stuff there? They're not like us. They don't have it together. And now, oh, it happened to them.
Damn. Yeah.
Or maybe it's like Andrew Jackson's president again, and he's like, no budget for CTU because fuck CTU. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know who's president.
So I have a question about CTU now, because we're talking about this DC office, LA office thing.
Yeah.
Right. Where does the director work? Because in every season, we know
who the director is.
Because in every season, the director is just at whatever office the season's happening at.
I think the director is the director of that office.
Oh,
there's it's not like a national director.
But I think the idea is the Washington director is the national director because they're trying to make Rebecca seem like she has a big influence and not just local. But when Jack was director, he was just director of LA.
So. In all those different seasons where there's been like a director of the LA CTU, they're actually answering to the director of the Washington CTU.
Well, yeah. Well, they talked a lot about answering to division, and they didn't really explain what division was.
That's just the DC office.
And I guess, or maybe division is also in LA, and then they answer to the DC office. Who knows?
Do you think they're reporting to Fringe Division?
That'd be another great
They definitely talk about division a lot for not explaining it.
I think they stopped talking about it at some point, but in the early seasons, they talk about division constantly.
Yeah, yeah. The mysterious division. Yeah. It's very strange.
So anyway, Jimmy Smits is kidnapped.
Smitsy gets got.
Because Nasiri's like, that's Senator Donovan. Let's kidnap him.
He's kidnapped with zero planning. They're just like, oh, hey, here's our Hillary Clinton guy.
Ill-conceived by these fucking amateur terrorists that they would derail their plan. Like, they somehow miraculously broke their leader out of this government facility, and now they're going to put their plan at risk by kidnapping a presidential candidate and current sitting senator? Doesn't make any sense to me.
No. This has all been planned by the big bat that we don't know
yet.
Oh,
you think? Yeah.
So, why do they need to kidnap Jadala back?
It's just...
I was thinking the same thing.
Because
it's his dad. Because his dad is alive.
It's got to be his
dad. That could be why.
It's... Dude. It's... I'm telling you. It's because, like, this is, like, his thing to run because his dad is dead. And then, the dude who seemed like he was, like, the new big bad is just making sure that stuff goes okay with the son. Like, I don't think that he's the one running the thing.
No. That's not the new big bad.
I know. Like, it's his dead dad or whatever. Like, maybe.
No, his dead dad who's not dead.
His dead dad who's not dead. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Supposedly dead.
I don't know. Like, to me, it seems like it's a very risky operation to break him out of there.
All right, Harrison.
And the entire terrorist crew is going to CTU.
I bet you a dollar that there's another big bad.
I bet you a dollar that his dad does not re-enter the picture and take over this operation.
I don't know if it's his dad, but there's another big bad.
Sure.
I'll take the stupid dad bet since I also probably lost the other bet anyway. I'll just keep taking dumb bets.
Okay.
I'm going to get in on this bet. I think the dad is dead. I think there's a will that says the dad really wants his son to carry on his legacy.
Oh, damn. Oh.
Is there also Jack Bauer letter to Eric saying that I want you to continue my CTU legacy?
Carry on my renegade agent legacy.
What if there's a crossover with Westworld and the dad is now a robot?
Wow.
All right.
The dad is always a robot.
We've gone down the deep end this time.
Okay.
So, one last thing.
Yeah.
I will take back all the things I've said bad about 24 Legacy. If it turns out part of the terrorist plan required them to kidnap a senator, and now this is just incredible good luck on their part. Like, this is amazing. The senator's right here.
No, this is all planned.
Yo, if they just lucked into that, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it would be so crazy if they just lucked into that. So crazy. Oh, my God. There's no way.
I guess the last thing that
they will end up figuring. I'm sorry. They will end up figuring out how to use him, but I don't think they had planned to use him before. That's all I'm gonna say.
Is that it?
That's it.
I guess the last thing that happened is that they get through the police barricade after shooting some cops.
They get stopped at police barricade. Senator Organa is kicking on the side of the van so the cops know what's up. So the terrorists just kill all the cops, no big deal, and then just drive away.
all that Jimmy Smits accomplished there was getting a bunch of cops killed.
It took like a good...
What a jerk.
What a jerk.
It took a little bit for CTU to know that, too. It wasn't like, oh, shots fired, CTU knows. It was like,
people were dead two minutes later.
But it's fucking DC. Like, CTU can't be consuming like every shooting that happens in DC.
They should be paying attention to the barricade that's around them.
Okay. Yes.
It's not like it was a shooting like on the other side of in Maryland or something.
So
it's like a block away.
So was that barricade set up specifically to catch those people?
Yes.
Because they are huge idiots if that's the case.
Yeah, no.
There were like two guys working that checkpoint.
They said they set up the barricade to stop the van from getting away.
That's horrible, dude.
Which we already talked about. They should have had the metal gates.
Why is everyone in the show horribly incompetent at everything?
I would blame the writers.
It's crazy.
So the very last scene is Eric just sitting in the basement, seemingly like losing his mind. What was that about?
It was, so he was listening on his earpiece to what was going on at CTU with like the dudes kidnapping the senator and then like the terrorists escaping. So he's basically sitting there being like, all this shit that I went through today and all these people that died and all this stuff was literally for nothing. Because the one terrorist that I caught is now back out there. And it's even a worse situation because the senator is now in their possession.
But there's not 15 cells out there to be activated.
So he's freaking out because, you know, like it's invalidating much of the work he did today.
Are they going to re-kidnap Andy to get the list of cells?
Andy's not done yet.
No, the thumb drive's done.
Unless there's a mole at CTU. Unless there's a mole at CTU.
Another mole. We did have a mole this episode.
We had a mole, but he, yeah.
Dude, they just gotta take a fucking mallet and just mash it.
No. Andy's recovering the data so they can round up all the terrorists.
He's recovering it so the terrorists can use it.
No. He told...
Oh, I know what he's doing. I know. But like, but that's all it's going to happen.
He's doing it so it can get stolen.
Yeah. So let's do mole watch. So we had a mole that no one predicted because he wasn't in any previous episode.
Yep.
We got three episodes left.
Down anymore because it's like
we got three episodes left. Does anyone think there's still a mole out there?
I'm still staying strong with Theo. Is Theo the other analyst? Is that his name?
Theo is the other analyst.
Theo is
not cousin Edgar.
No, she's legit.
She's too legit.
Edgar taught her well.
Too legit to quit.
This kidnapping really hurts the Senator Organa is the mole
theory.
It does.
Unless they captured him to bring him back into the operation. They had to make it look like it was a kidnapping.
Even though I have a bet going that I don't think the father is alive, I'm going to say Sheikh bin Khalid is the mole.
Wow.
Bold. How do you spell that?
Sheikh.
How is he the mole?
Because he's been underground.
Yeah, I don't think he can be a mole unless he like tells CTU the plan.
That's definitely what that prediction is.
Hey, I'm rolling with my own definitions. Okay.
I'm gonna put a mole prediction out there, and I'm gonna go with the same one as last week. Andy ex-boyfriend is gonna get that list and do something with it.
Andy ex-boyfriend had about 7 seconds of screen time this week.
If that,
yeah.
Dude, there's no one. I have no idea.
You should just say like you're going no mole left. That's the
There's no points in that.
That's true.
Maybe we
I think there could be points in no mole.
There's no points for no mole.
It's too close to the end to give points for no mole. If you'd given like episode, as soon as Papa Organa was out as a mole, you're like no more mole points, but you don't get it because we had the security guard mole.
Yeah. I mean, if you call no mole at the beginning of the season, it's
and
like
then there was no mole.
It's like
you get all the points.
It's like shooting the moon in hearts.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like Andy ex-boyfriend. I'm gonna jump on that train.
You're gonna jump on Andy
actually. Can I change my vote?
No.
Nope. It's already written down. In
all right. One said yes.
Ones and zeros.
I'm saying the party head.
Oh.
Mark Boudreau.
Big booty Boudreau.
It wouldn't be the first time.
It's gonna come back to fuck us again.
Oh, it would be so amazing if Mark Boudreau came back on the
good.
Show.
Oh,
that's what we need.
Didn't he go to jail?
Tate Donovan, same last name as Senator Donovan in the show.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
Bill.
It's a sign.
Could be.
Yeah.
So, Harrison, who's your official mole pick?
It's Theo.
Theo.
Oh, Theo, that's right.
Teo.
Sorry.
All right, so
my bad.
It's okay.
We have Kill of the Week now.
A lot of people died this week. Not a lot of good Kill the Week candidates, though.
No.
I feel like Max got had a pretty good candidate there.
Who?
I was when he was like...
The one you talked about during the episode?
Oh, the lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. She died, and she also killed some people, so either way, you win.
Well, I think Chris is referring to when the senator hung up and didn't take Rebecca's call. You said, ooh, Kill the Week.
Well, no, that was a reference to last week where I said that their marriage, Kill of the Week.
But their marriage, I think it's not the Kill of the Week because their marriage was like on the recovery path by the end.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So
I'm going to say the woman Eric killed is not Kill of the Week because we talked about how stupid Eric was for killing her and not just wounding her.
100%.
Maybe she gets Kill of the Week for taking out the CTU red shirt.
Maybe.
I think the mole that got killed is Kill of the Week.
I think the security guard?
Yeah. He got shot in the head. It was pretty good.
That was a very tactical takedown.
I don't think that's what it looked like if he got shot in the head, though.
No.
No, I'm definitely not.
Definitely not. But
oh wait. Okay, I got
like,
a new
it. It
kind
of looked like you just like they put like a piece of pencil through like a piece of paper. It's kind of like
that's it. Kind of looked like makeup.
Kind of looked like makeup.
Pencil of the week.
Pencil of the week.
Go see John Wick 2.
What about Carlos Bernard's career?
Oh, sad but true.
Ooh boy.
Whew.
Yeah, I think it's got to be security guard for me.
I think that's the best of a mediocre group.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could also, I guess, you could also say taking out all the cops at the very end at the checkpoint, but
yeah,
it was very unartistic. It was just like
it was no shotgun.
It was too easy for them.
We got to deal with
this.
It
was definitely no shotgun. They didn't have the style of the struts and the shotgun blasts.
The fearlessness.
There was no machine gun in the back of a van.
Oh, that was also
great. Okay.
Should I talk about Power Rangers now? Or we have anything else to talk about?
You can talk about Power Rangers if you want to.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
How was it?
It was okay. It was like decent, like team building, action superhero movie.
Was it better than Batman v. Period Superman?
Probably. I actually cared about the people and things happened.
That's good.
That made sense.
The fact that your answer wasn't definitely means I'm definitely not seeing Power Rangers.
I mean, it's not like...
I was definitely already not seeing Power Rangers, and I'm really definitely not seeing it now.
If I'd gotten a really strong Chris endorsement, you might have talked me into it. No. And like, I know Chris has a soft spot for these kind of movies, and the fact that he's like, oh, you know, it was okay, maybe better than Batman v Superman. I'm like,
it was definitely better than Batman v Superman. It's just, you know, a question I didn't think of. But it's definitely not like a you must watch.
All right.
It's like a nostalgia trip that has like ends up being a decent superhero movie, but nothing like amazing.
Since I haven't seen Logan, I feel like that should be my priority rather than going to see Power Rangers.
Logan was good.
Logan's pretty.
I like Logan.
Fun fact, I once went in Japan to the Power Ranger Museum. There's like 40 generations of Power Rangers before the Mighty Morphin.
30.
And before the Mighty Morphin or after the Mighty Morphin?
Before. Like, they've been going since the 60s.
And they've been doing
them since.
And then
they jumped over to the US in, like, the 90s or whatever.
So they stole the action scenes from this Japanese show. And then, like, they used the costumes to give these, like, American kids some high school scenes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's really obvious if you watch the show. It's pretty funny.
Huh.
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers are, in Japanese, called the Jew Rangers.
Wow.
What?
That's 100% true.
That seems not okay.
Wait, is it actually
Max Harrison, is that okay?
It's pronounced Jew, but it's unrelated to Jews.
It's not about Jewish people.
It's not about Jews.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
There you go.
Not
offended.
Designated Survivor's going pretty strong.
I'm getting some. Some people telling me I got to catch up.
It's all right. It's all right. It's an okay show.
I think it's better than 24.
It's absolutely better than 24.
And it's a similar show.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
You should also... We haven't put our episode out yet for our other podcast.
Chris, your skepticism last week was well-founded. There's been no new who put this on... episode.
Maybe
so
this week, though.
If you didn't listen last week, we have a second podcast where we watch reality shows and make jokes about them, and called Who Put This On, and there may or may not be a new episode coming soon.
I gotta take care of it, but I'm less busy at work this week than I was last week.
There we go.
That not Jack, though, can knock you out.
Yeah. Theoretically, I might go to the gym right now. Who knows?
Man, that's a late gym run.
With all that not Jack, then go to the gym? Bold move.
You gotta sweat it out.
Bold move.
All right. Plugs, anyone? Max?
Coming to me last.
Harrison?
Follow me on Twitter at Harrison Hoffman.
You can follow me on Twitter at the Chris Lorenz. Rob, and
just follow at Who Put This On.
Good one.
Max,
follow me on Zenga at senatorsrus.zenga.net.
All right, you can follow us on Twitter at the DBBL, and you can find us on facebook.com/the DBBL. You can email us questions at thedppl@gmail.com.
Wow, so many options.
Adios.